So yes, I was born and brought up a little place called Bow, and I first came here to Woodbury when I was about 15, I think. My dad used to speak here back in the day, and so I haven't been for a long time since then. But like was said, yeah, my name's Chrissy. I went from Devon to London as a social worker, then worked with the Shaftesbury Society for a few years before going out to Rwanda in the year 2000, and then was resident in Rwanda to 2015. And we still go back two or three times a year. So Rwanda is very much our hearts. I'm married to a Rwandan, so that sort of like helps a little bit. And we've adopted a son also from Rwanda who's just started at university. He's making as many mistakes as is humanly possible in his first term. And what else? So go out to Rwanda about three times a year. But our Devon side of our lives is I'm a children and families worker at Exmouth Chapel. So I always think I'm a bit old to do that. So anyway, that is such is life, and that's where God has placed us. But we've heard so much this morning, haven't we? And I don't know how long your services are, but I go to many churches where if you're 1 minute over the allotted time, everyone's shuffling in their seats. So please bear with us this morning. I've been given the task of talking about discipling children. Now, I'm not dyslexic, but I am a little bit. So when Sammy first wrote to me, I thought he had asked for disciplining children. And I was like, oh, my life. No, I'm not very good at that. And it's just when we met, fortunately, at Cafe Nero's, and he was like, no, it's discipling children. I'm like, oh, good. That sounds a bit easier. So for those of us who travel, we all know the brief when we get into an aeroplane. You sit there, you work out what the films are. Is the food going to be any good? Try and adjust the seat and see if you've got someone ginormous beside you or if you actually can actually put your arms on the levers. And then it comes up, the safety briefing. And one of the parts of the safety briefing is always, in the event of an emergency, put things on yourself first before you help your children. We all know that. Heaven only knows what would happen if I was actually in an airplane crash, because I'm usually asleep by the time that's finished. But you know what? When it comes to discipling our children, really, that's all I need to say. We need to work out what God is doing in our own lives and live it out. And as we live it out, our children see that and they are discipled. And so I could sit down now. But actually, I've been given 20 minutes, so I'm not going to. We looked at Psalm 127 today, and verse 3 to 5 says, arrows, targets, and sent out. So an arrow for our children are to be trained, they are to be taught, and they are to be sent out to be positive and productive. And so this morning, we're going to look at those three aspects from the verse 3 to verse 5. What does it mean to train our children? What does it mean to teach our children? And what does it mean to send out our children? Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, we all know children, we all know families, where that, unfortunately, has not happened. But we also know that God's promise to us as family members and our children lasts forever. We've had a powerful reminder this morning of what it means to remember. What it means for those of us who just hear the stories of the generations. My dad tells stories of his granddad. So we hear the stories on the generations. That adds power to when we see and when we remember. Equally for our children in discipling them, as we share our stories of what God has done in our lives, promises which have become fulfilled, the way that we've relied on God when it's tough. Like the children of Israel, they built altars so they would remember, but we've had it powerfully this morning. What does it mean to lead by example in our Bible study? I think having a child really helped me having a quiet time, because I was like, if I really want my son to learn what it is to have a regular quiet time, I better have one myself, and I better have one that he can see I'm having. What does it mean in our family life as a church? What does it mean to lead by example? If the children see that we're bored, then they probably will be bored as well. There's a great story I saw on Facebook this week, and it was a little child saying, you know, why is everyone so quiet in church? And they're like, shh, because that's they're asleep. What does it mean? What does it mean for us to be church family? We need to be encouraging each other. If children hear, don't they? They listen. If they hear us speaking badly about each other, speaking badly about the service, then they'll go back thinking, it registers and it resonates in their hearts. What does it mean in the power of prayer? What does it mean to train a child to pray? So important, isn't it, that children learn that God is a God that when we talk to him, he answers prayer. One of my first earliest remembrance of this is my parents are great prayers. And I remember one Sunday morning, well, a Saturday night, I had prayed for the fishermen. And I think I probably did that every Saturday because my dad listened to the weather forecast, all right? So I'm probably, that was my routine. But I remember very early Sunday morning, going into my parents' room. It was always good to go in on a Sunday morning because I got sweets. So there was nothing wrong in that. So I was very happy. Listening to my dad had the weather forecast on, and there was a ship which nearly had got grounded, but it had been rescued. And I remember I must have been like 4 or 5 thinking, that is an answer to my prayer. Now, I'm sure there are many ships which get grounded. There are many answers to prayer over the years. But that was very poignant in my mind. It was prayed and it was answered. And we need to be alive to that. And it's so exciting that as family in church, it's not just nuclear family, it's family of church, we can share stories of I prayed about this and God answered. My mum is a Muller's orphan, so she was brought up in the Muller's orphanage. She's now 91, and she loves to tell stories. But one of her most poignant stories is when she left Muller's orphanage and her comb broke, and she was a nurse, and she had had to pay £3 in rent for the month for where she was renting, and that was the amount of money that she had for that month. And she was like, her comb had broke. And she remembers praying and saying, Lord, this isn't fair. I've got a job. I've got to look, you know, at that time you had to look the part. And I haven't got a comb. And she came back home to her new home the following day. And there was an envelope under the door. And she had forgotten that she had lent someone some money. And lo and behold, the money inside the envelope was the price of buying a new comb. God answers prayer. And we need to share those stories in a world which is so bleak with our children. A world which, when we look at the news, I don't know about you, but I get very depressed about it. And we can only pray to God and ask for his mercy. So share as we train children. What's our routine? We teach them, have a shower, clean your teeth, wash your hands before you go to the toilet, after the toilet even. We share routines, and we need to do that with our children. But it's also grandparents, church family, Sunday school, youth events, everything. We are pointing our children to Jesus. Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26, where it talks about the Lord blessing us. There's a beautiful quote which I'd like to read to you. And it says, parenting is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. It is a faith offering that promises a harvest, one that may look very different to what you had imagined. May we see our children collectively as God sees them. May we see ourselves as God sees us. You can only impart what you possess. Powerful, eh? We can only impart to our children what we have learned for ourselves. But we move on from what does it look like for our children to be trained to what does it look like, fairly similar, for our children to be taught. Well, I've talked about a routine. Our son always, you know, have a shower before you go to bed. Now, university, I don't know if that happens or not, but hopefully it's been installed. You need to have a shower regularly. He has retainers. Stick in your retainer before you go to bed. There are simple things. And to be an example, we need to actually live those routines daily. There's a great story. I go around the country and talk about Rwanda. So once I was in this home of with my husband and son, and we were going to a church we didn't know. And we went in, my son was 5 at the time, all right? So we had traveled up north. He was a bit annoyed because he'd been in the car for a long time. Jano and I never do very well because I have no sense of direction, so I go left when it says right. So we'd arrived at this house fairly tense, you can say. Walk in the door, and there's pristine white carpet everywhere. And this lady says, oh, I love children. Would you like a Ribena? And I'm like, don't move, don't move. Please do not move. And then we sit down for supper, and she'd invited some friends to come, and that was all lovely. And a little girl said to her, she said, why do we only pray before a meal when you have visitors? She said, oh, no, 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 dear, we pray all the time, we pray all the time. And you know, children, there are no secrets with children, are there? Children see our example. They see if we completely follow what we say. And we all know that words are important, but actions are far more important. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16, talks very much how God made us and how all our days are written down. I don't know about you, but isn't it fantastic to know that my days are written down? If my days are written down, my son's days are written down. Our church family days are written down. God knows them. And the beautiful thing about church family is that our children have such a variety of people to talk to, such a variety of people to learn from experience, such a variety of people that they learn to be confident with. I think it's a beautiful blessing that kids have who come to church. They know how to stand up front. They know how to talk to an adult. They know how to be quiet when they need to because they're part of a wider family. And many children do not get that. And something else in being taught, for ourselves as parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, we need to have people who are championing us. As it was said, I lived in Rwanda for 15 years, and I have 3 very close friends. 2 who are married to Rwandans, 1 who's married to a South African. And we pray together and we meet together. We laugh together. We cry together. We share our joys and our frustrations. Even though I'm here, one's in Canada, one's in South Africa, and one's in Rwanda. Every 2 weeks we meet together on WhatsApp. And it's so important because that's life-giving for me. That's a place I can really share what's happening. That's a place I can share honestly what's going on. And I know people are going to champion me, and I also know I'm going to champion them. Let's not lose out in collective being together. Let's not lose out teaching each other, coming alongside. My close friends can tell me off. They have the right to. Lots of other people tell me off and I'm like, okay. But we have rights when we're friends. Let's use that together. Deuteronomy 11 verse 18 even, talks about laws and binding it for the people remember. We've seen that this morning. And it's so important. What does it mean for our young people to come to church every Sunday? That's part of our routine. We're telling them that this is important. This is important to us. This should be important to you. What does it mean when they see us pray? Do we expect God to answer our prayers? Or are we praying because it's functional? Are we praying because that's what we need to do? But if we're talking with expectancy, and then something which really challenged me, talk about the answers, even if they're not what I want, our children learn that our faith is vibrant. And out of that vibrance, they can see a reality. When I was a teenager, I wasn't always what I should have been. And so I remember coming home exceptionally late one day, far later than my parents had told me I could, far, far later than I probably would have thought about. And I came in and my dad was kneeling by the bed. And I was like, oh, I wondered if he died. You all right, Dad? You know, because I'd never seen that before. And he was, Chrissy, yes, this is serious. I've been praying for you. And that stands in my mind. I've never done that for my child saying that, but that stands in my mind. Someone who was willing to commit their time because they loved me to the person who could love me even more. And that made a huge impact to a rebellious teenager. So we have trained, we have taught, and then lastly, we have what it is to send our kids out. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will make you wise. I will show you where to go. I will guide you and watch over you. Wow. I will make you wise. I will show you where to go. I will guide you and watch over you. We know the world, school, college, university, work, friends, neighbors, wherever is a scary place. The world this week seems to have got a little bit scarier. And we need to trust God to do his work. We need to trust God that he loves our families. He loves our kids. He loves our grandchildren more than we can. When you look at Miriam and Moses put in a basket, what was she feeling at the time? And I'd like to read you a beautiful quote which Elizabeth Elliot said. There comes a time, many times actually, in the lives of our children where we have to put the basket in the water. We have to let go and trust the plan of the Father. The world is a scary place. But remember, we have to let go so that God can draw them from the water for his great purpose. He has called us to be their parents, grandparents, church family, whatever. But they were his first. And yes, it's so very, very hard to let go of the basket. Boy, I know that with my son going to university. My husband was just like, yes, it's just the two of us. We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And I'm like, I'm sad, I'm not doing anything. Letting go is hard. We have to put them in the water for God to draw them out and place them into his perfect plan. Isn't that beautiful? As we let go, we put them in the water. We're not just trusting them to the drift. No, we're trusting them to the Father's care so that he can pull them out. So lastly, I'd just like to say Romans 8, verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs with God. Don't be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. But God has promised that he will carry on his work until fulfillment in the life of ourselves. Ourselves first. Don't forget that. We have to sort out our relationship with God into the lives of our children, the lives of our grandchildren, the lives of our nieces and nephews. Because it's not our work, it's God's work. And what a privilege it actually is to be able to disciple, to be able to have those questions, to be able to know that we're a tiny little part of what God wants in the lives of the little people or big people he's entrusted to us. So thank you so much for letting me share this morning. And I believe we're carrying on now. God bless you.